Hello, Dr. Ray.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
I'm sure I'm going to get really good advice from you.
Oh, I don't know about that.
You're right on track with this. You're right on track.
My idea, my theory, my guidance is a bit of a stretch.
Everybody make a mistake.
Does that comfort you?
No.
Am I close?
No.
You are so wrong.
You're so wonderful.
Why do I have to be the insightful professional?
Someone intelligent on radio. Yay!
Did I make you feel a lot better or what?
No, you made me feel worse.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Yeah, well, medicine makes you feel worse, too. That's why you have to have a spoonful of sugar to make it go down. Good to have you with me. Thanks for joining me. For whatever amount of time that you do, I'm reading stats where they say the average radio listener tunes in, I forget how many minutes. Usually catch as catch can. So I'm going to try to be at least in the IQ range of about 112 consistently. So no matter when you tune in, you will get the full brunt of 112 IQ points smashing into your ear. Very nice to have you. Program is The Doctor Is In, Monday through Friday, co-production, EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, some 500 stations now, Sirius Satellite, Channel 130, as well as all the many, many apps in the places. I didn't give a shout-out yesterday, and I should have. I wanted to shout out to Good Shepherd Catholic Radio up there in Jackson, Michigan. Going to Jackson. It was a great night. Thank you so much for allowing me to be part of it, Bob, and all the folks there. Good Shepherd Catholic Radio. If you'd like to be on the program, 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program for three reasons. One, you have some circumstances in your life that you want to bounce off of me. Can't do therapy here. I'm not going to diagnose you. And I certainly will not step in when there is another therapist under whose care you are. I can't do that. I had a lady call back yesterday. She was very upset because I said, I can't. I can't say anything because your therapist knows you and has known you for months and months, if not years. And for me to say something on the basis of what you're telling me as a thought to throw out there might be diametrically opposed to what your therapist is telling you, who knows you infinitely better than I do. She got mad. She called back. She was upset. Well, anywho, if you have a circumstance in your life, if you want to make a comment to help somebody else out, we've had a couple of those yesterday. Situation usually comes up top of the program where someone struggles with something, and indeed they prompt, urge a number of comments, helpful comments, too. So that's great. And then, if you have a generic type question, we do get those where somebody says, what do you think about this particular socio-cultural phenomenon that affects people's well-being and a particular generic psychological, developmental, emotional term, diagnostic term? So we get those, too. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program. This was many years ago. Had a lot of these since. A woman walked into my office. She was a mom. 17-year-old son. Unruly. Very, very difficult. This particular son, I think, if I remember my details correctly, was talking to the school librarian. His tale of woe about having this rigid, unyielding, inflexible mother who just didn't give him what he wanted, and he was reasonable and she was not. And the librarian said, well, this is just awful and terrible. Your mother should just be a much nicer person to you, because I think you're a wonderful person. Of course, when he talked to her in these relatively limited settings with no demands whatsoever, he came across very polite, very nice. People would say, see, what a nice boy he is. I can't believe his mother is like this with him. If the mother's report had 50% credence, This kid was a major discipline problem. Major unruly, major defiant. He was very hard to manage. He was big. He was 17. So he found a sympathetic ear in the librarian. The librarian said, "You can come and live here." I think she might have had other kids and was perhaps married. "You can come and live here." Mom, at that point, was at her wit's end. Agreed. Just said, "Okay, go, fine. I can't handle you anymore." So Mom was talking to me about this when she came in a later session and said, "My son is no longer living at home. He found a sympathetic ear in the librarian who he convinced he is a victim of a throwback Neanderthal, narrow-minded, out of sync with the culture mother." I think she was a single mom. I call it being a crusader. I'm going to rescue you from your parents. Your parents clearly do not deal with you well. If they did, you wouldn't be this discontent with them. So, I listen to what you say, and you sound quite reasonable in the way you describe what's going on at home, and I just think that's so sad and unfair that you have to reside in that environment, and I can step in. Yes, sir, I can give you a much more accepting, caring, safe emotional environment for you. I see a lot of this. I see relatives doing it. You can come and live with me. A lot of times these are young adults. I see grandparents doing it. You can come and live with me. Your parents are unreasonable. Now, one could say, well, maybe the parents are unreasonable. That could be. Sure, it could very well be. I can't rule that out. But in many cases, they're not. They're parents who have rules and expectations that the kids don't like, especially if those rules and expectations are different from the culture at large. And when the kid describes his living situation, he usually finds somebody willing to agree with him. In some cases, they're willing to agree with him enough that they say, "Come and live with us. We'll be nice to you. We'll understand you." I made a prediction to the mom. I said, "My guess would be that his living with this librarian won't last past 6 months. Because she'll see what it's like to live with him." I don't remember exactly the details, but I think he did go back home because she didn't want to deal with him. That happens so often. If I have an adolescent in my office, 14, 15, 16, 17 years old, who describes for me their discontent. A lot of times the parents will bring the kid in because she's discontent. He's discontent. They're unhappy. So, you know, let's find out the root of their unhappiness. And much of the time, the root of their unhappiness is that my parents aren't being the kind of parents I want them to be. Not because they're nasty parents, but because they are parents that have limits that are tighter than the kids see among their peers. So as we talk, the children can come across very reasonable. They truly can. They come across insightful and thoughtful. And to listen to them alone, you'd think, boy, oh boy, we gotta correct some of these parents, right? And then the parents come in, and they describe. The teenager selectively left out certain realities of the home situation, certain behaviors on the teen's part, left out huge chunks of history that could have been talked about. Many people, and I've seen this among therapists do this, and this is part of the reason why many parents are afraid to go to therapists, because the therapist will see the 12, 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old. And it will sound, from the teen's perspective, that these people that they live with is they're just so unreasonable. They're so unfair. They're so understanding not. And so the therapist generally, and I think sadly, gets pulled in. They just assume that what they're being told reflects reality. A good therapist recognizes that whatever anybody tells you is perception, is they're seeing it as they see it. Now, it may be very close to reality, of course, but it may also, in the interest of self-interest, be way off from reality. And teens are notorious for doing this. And they find someone who thinks you need to be rescued from your parents, and I'm the person to rescue you. Which I find interesting because in the past, most people recognized that the child's well-being, welfare, raising was up to the parents. You didn't have to step in and rescue the child who was discontent with his parents' ways, unless the child was being neglected or abused. And in many cases, that's not at all the way it is. There's no such inappropriate parenting involved. It is just the kid being disenchanted with the parents and the way they want to do things. Making me go to church? Ew! No smartphone after 11 in my room? Ew! I can't hang around with him? Ew! So, when the desires of the child clash with what the parents know is good for the child gets discontent. And then, the child's very good. And I'm not saying they're deliberately deceptive, although some are. But most of them are simply describing it as they see it to a sympathetic ear. But the irony to all this is that that sympathetic ear generally finds out in time that this kid isn't exactly the picture that he portrayed to them to get them to take him in. 877-573-7825, 877-57, equal. Thank you for joining me. I'm Dr. Ray.
What can I say? I'm thrilled.
Don't let everyone else get all the great advice.
Call now to speak with Dr. Ray.
Do you seek a fulfilling career protecting women and the unborn? Mother and Unborn Baby Care, a vibrant Catholic pregnancy resource center in Southfield, is seeking a passionate pro-life leader full-time to help provide vulnerable moms with life-affirming options. To learn more about this position on their Christ-centered team, call 248-559-7576. That's 248-559-7576 or visit maubc.org.
Wine Garps, everything from lawn to snow.
Spring into mowing season with a new Cub Cadet lawn tractor from Wine Garps. We've been helping families like yours choose the right power equipment since 1945. Cub Cadet XT Enduro Series tractors are engineered to offer the best combination of quality, value, and performance. Built in America since 1961 and backed by the industry's strongest warranty, Cub Cadet Lawn and Garden Tractors offer comfort and year-round versatility. The Cub Cadet XT Enduro lineup's premium powerful performance will help you unlock the possibilities of your lawn.
At WineGarts!
Our expert service technicians and world-class parts inventory help keep your equipment running like new. We've always known that service goes beyond the sale. Stop by our stores to help find your next Cub Cadet or visit us online at WineGarts.com. From our family to yours, thank you for letting us serve you.
Wine Garps, everything from lawn to snow.
This Easter season, prepare to enjoy tenor Andrea Bocelli in a celebration of hope, beauty, and music across the Italian countryside. The Journey, presented by TVN, brings you moments in life that define and move us and highlight the relationships that matter most. The Journey. A music special from Andrea Bocelli in theaters April 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 6th. More information at thejourney.movie. That's thejourney.movie.
Good to have you. Thank you for joining me. Dr. Ray Guarendi, program The Doctor Is In. Interestingly enough, I got a distressed call from a citizen from a local community that is known to be very, very conservative. And they had a teacher in service from a group that basically is, I guess you could say pushing hard the transgender agenda. And this citizen was saying, what can we do? What's going on here? Now, he happened to talk to a couple of board members that he knew, and the board members said, no, that what you're hearing is not true, that we're not advising that if a kid tells the teacher about some gender confusion, that the parents are not to be told if the kid doesn't want him to. No, that's not it. Well, my friend was dubious about this. He wasn't real sure if, in fact, he was just being told something to mollify him. So Justin from San Antonio, Texas, has a similar question. Hi, Justin.
Dr. Ray, thank you so much. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Really appreciate your service you provide. And I have a question about what does it look like to love our neighbors well that have gender dysphoria, or maybe they're not diagnosed, or they don't, like, within the healthcare or the mental health care community, that diagnosis is not handed out or treated. And I feel like as Christians that there's an advocacy piece of to love our neighbors well, to diagnose well by telling the truth. And that's my assumption, and I just don't know how to engage without being excoriated.
So, well, you don't engage if they don't want to hear it. As I get older, I find I don't want to waste my time with someone who is inveterate in their opinion, and any kind of facts, any kind of reasoning, quickly as a parent, will not budge them. Typically, reality will have to hopefully instruct. Here's what I'm now telling parents. You cannot assume that your school follows a policy that would be parent-friendly regarding these gender confusion issues. You can't assume it. You'd better know. Furthermore, just because the school says, absolutely, if this issue comes up, parents are to be told, no matter what the child requests. You can also not assume that the teacher is not motivated to push a certain perspective upon the kids. You can't assume that. This gender issue has become wildly pervasive in our culture so fast, everywhere. So, here's my perspective on this. The actual sexual physiological confusion is very rare. It's very rare to have someone with sex organs of both sexes and have a significant miswiring malfunction, hormonal malfunction. That's rare. All right, well under 1%. Mm-hmm. If you look at the gender confusion, I'm a boy, I'm not a girl, etc., etc., that's now exploding in numbers. Exploding. I think eventually more professionals will begin to say, we need to look at all the factors involved in this. We can't just assume that when a 9-year-old says, I'm not a girl, I'm a boy, that automatically that reveals someone who is out of sync totally with their body, and that's the only factor. There's no other factor. She hasn't been on social media. She hasn't been talking to friends. She isn't aware of the cultural movement on this. None of it. There's no other factor. Some years ago, in a local high school, 3 children committed suicide in a very short period of time. They rushed in the counselors. They had the counselors swarm the place. Why? Because they know that among teenagers, they are particularly suggestible to teen movements. And they knew that when you had three kids doing this, it would raise the ideation among the other kids. Well, maybe that's an option.
Right.
Okay, so they know this. And they know this in about everything else. But they're not raising the issue among, right now anyway, the social confusion. Now, it so happens that Britain, Netherlands, Sweden have said no sexual transgender surgery operations under 18. Illegal. Not allowed.
Yeah.
So they've recognized, obviously, there's something else going on here. So given that, my approach on this is usually something to ask questions. How did you decide this? How did you come to this conclusion? Have you always felt this way? Is this something that has confused you? Do you have a friend that's talking this way? Have you been on social media? Because social media, we already know that social media has algorithms that will push kids towards certain places. If they find out that a kid posts something that indicates depression or sadness or any kind of suicidal thinking or gender confusion, that algorithm picks up on it. And pushes the kids towards places and posts that would feed into that. That's already done. It's devious. It's terrible. But they do it. So these are all things I think to be aware of. I don't know when and if this just roaring tsunami of transgender confusion is going to start to take a more sober-eyed look at what's going on. As perhaps some of the European countries already are. I don't know when that's going to happen. I know that locally there is a teacher who was fired because she said, I can't refer to a child in their preferred pronouns. And her view was, now you said, do we love? You said, do we love? Well, of course you love. Love wants the best for someone. The indications are starting to come in that making these decisions, particularly as an adolescent, can have ramifications you can't undo. And as a result, are they capable? We stop kids from doing all kinds of, they can't drive, they can't do all kinds of things because we view them as children not in fact capable neurologically of making these kinds of decisions. But yet on this, we just assume, okay, you're 10, you can make this decision. I gotta believe at some point, Justin. At some point, more people are gonna say we gotta take a look at really what's going on and all the factors involved in it.
May it please the Lord.
May it please the Lord. Thank you, Justin. Thank you for the call.
Thank you, Dr. A.
877-573-7825. I went over to my son. Now is managing an Instagram account. I've never been on Instagram. But those are short little, and I don't want to, this is me eating a bologna sandwich. None of that kind of stuff. That's ridiculous. I can't stand it. Look at me. Look at me. Give me thumbs up. Give me sticker systems. No. Whatever I can do to offer a few thoughts, maybe anything that somebody might find useful. I'm not saying that what I put on there is going to be useful to everybody. But there could be some folks who say, you know what, I never thought of it that way, or never looked at it that way, or that's a good way for me to deal with my kid when he does that. That's what it's about. So he's managing it. I think it's under Dr. Ray Guarendi. Kind of creative, huh? 877-573-7825 is the number. We're about the halfway mark. And once again, as what happened yesterday, the phone lines filled up again because people said, oh, well, all right. I don't have to get in line because in the halfway mark, there are many places open for you to call in. So I want to hear from you. Thank you. Joining me, Dr. Ray Guarendi, program The Doctor Is In. What a privilege to do this show. Never thought I'd have this radio program. For years and years and years and years, I wanted to be a secular radio TV host. And my career took me in different directions, and that never, ever happened. And then I got the chance to be on Catholic media. And I was so excited, I said no. I did. Because at that time, my speaking was at its peak, maybe 100, 120 times a year I was speaking. And I just couldn't devote time to being on a microphone in the middle of the day. It's not going to happen. My wife, who has incredibly better judgment than I do, said, give it 6 months. Just try it for 6 months. Work your speaking schedule around it as best you can. Now, I've learned something being married. Do what the women tell you and nobody gets hurt. So I did. 6 months. At the end of the 6 months, I couldn't believe the reach and the impact of Catholic radio. And I knew then that were I to say, okay, I gave it 6 months. Hey, that's fine. Thank you, Knight. Fun. It was fun. That knowing what it can do for people, that someday if I were to stand before the Lord and I said, you know, Lord, I got an experience there at Catholic media can really do a lot to help souls. But I'm a busy guy, you know, place to go, people to see. Don't have time for that, you know. I knew I couldn't do that. And as it turned out, my wife was not only wiser than me, but she was much wiser than me. So I've been on Catholic radio now for, probably 20, 22 years, something like that. Yeah, right out of high school. I was the youngest guy on Catholic media. 877-573-7825. Okay, we'll go to Tom from Massachusetts. Tom, thank you for the call, sir. Hello there.
Hello.
Hey, Tom, doctor. Thanks for the call. Yes, sir.
Doctor, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Dr. Ray, I have a thought. I have a third grade son, 9 years old. He came home yesterday with an agenda that with a book, and it's a reading book that they're going to read with the class, the entire class. And it's broken down by chapters, and it has a list of Muslim religious words. And we're Catholic, and my boy is only 9 years old. And here are some of the terms that they have. Muslim, Hajid, Quarin, Surah, Allah, Shaitan, Bar, Mosque, and they go all the way down through their prayer time, and I just find it very curious in how a public school can put that out there when they're supposed to not be teaching religion.
Well, I think you found something that's interesting. They're supposed to be religion neutral when it comes to Christianity, but not anywhere else.
Okay.
This goes, Tom, with what I said 10 minutes ago.
Yes.
You can't assume what that school is teaching your kid. You just can't. Parents just assumed that the teachers in the schools were pretty much, you know, they weren't counter to their belief system. They just were neutral. They just avoided it. Well, they don't avoid it anymore. Now, one might say, well, my son was in Catholic school. He was learning about all the world's religions as a junior. Well, he was a junior. All right, I didn't like it then because they spent a semester doing it. And I'm thinking, why don't you spend a semester talking about our faith? But they talked about the world's religions because you have to know what other people think. Yeah, you do. But third grade, all that does is confuse him. Your little guy's going to go, well, if they think that, Daddy, are we wrong? Because they think that. You're going to confuse him. He's 9 years old.
Right.
If it were me, I probably would go to the principal and say, well, we're going to skip that assignment. I don't see any reason to confuse my 9-year-old.
Well, thank you, doctor, because I actually emailed the teacher, and the teacher referred me to the principal, and I have an 8 o'clock appointment tomorrow before school.
Well, you know why the teacher referred you to the principal, don't you?
I'm going to say because I'm taking orders from above, and you need to go talk to the boss.
I hope that's what it is. My sense more so is that it's, I'm going to teach what I'm going to teach, and if you got a problem with it, you go to the administration.
Okay.
See, you're probably going to be the only parent who's going to say anything about this. Now, before anybody writes me with ugly emails, let me tell you what I'm not...
I apologize for that.
No, let me tell you what I'm not saying. I'm not saying you dishonor Islam at all.
Correct.
I'm saying that when you got a little guy who's being raised with a certain viewpoint, that to introduce a confusing, to him, religious viewpoint at age 9 is not something that is going to do well by him. In virtually all Muslim-dominated countries, you can't teach religion. You can't teach Christianity. They wouldn't allow you to teach Christianity.
Yeah.
So, and I think you can ask the principal that. You can say, well, if this were a Muslim country, could we teach Christianity to a third grader? Well, we're not a Muslim country. We are open. We believe in pluralism of religions. Okay. My son's 9. My son really can't digest. Right now, he's just barely understanding the faith we're trying to raise him in, which we believe is true. We're not raising him in this faith because we think, well, this is what we want. You choose what you want. This is good for us. You choose what's good for you. No, we believe this is true. So therefore, we're trying to pass it on to our son as best we can. So I'd ask the principal, I'd say, what is the reasoning behind this?
Okay.
I'd ask him that. I said, what's the reasoning? Just get, well, and I know what he's going to say. He's going to say, well, we believe the children should be exposed to how other people think. You know, we're a diverse culture. Diversity is very important. Equity and inclusion. This is a policy that we follow. And then I'd say, well, why third grade? Why not eighth grade? Why third? Well, we also teach it in the eighth grade, too. But we believe that early on is the best way to get the child to understand it. Okay. Well, then if that is your policy, then what I will do is I will have my son not do that assignment. Well, sir, that's your decision. You realize, you understand that he may fail then. Yes, I think he'll fail that assignment. I would not think he'll fail the year. Do you, sir?
No, he's a very good student. He's very conscientious.
Right. So, you know, you're right. Touching on something. You're touching on something that is a theme in all of this. And I'm more convinced of this than ever before. The dominant opinion makers and shapers of thinking in our culture want to get rid of Christianity. Christianity is something that has to be scrubbed from the American psyche. Question. It's I've been looking it up. I've been trying to find it. Maybe I should call one of the apologists at Catholic Answers. I give up junk food for Lent. Now, the slippery weasel conditions to that are that I decide what junk food is. Now, donuts have eggs in them and milk. So, you know, that's probably pretty healthy for you. I don't know if a donut would be considered junk food. But I'm looking at this Kind mini bar. Now, it has dark chocolate nuts. A lot of nuts. A lot of peanuts. Mostly peanuts. And then dark chocolate on the bottom. Is that a candy bar? I don't know. But I guess I have to make that call. Speaking of some confusion regarding the faith, Leo is calling. He's a Portlandier, Portland, Oregon. He's got some questions. Hi, Leo.
Hey, good day, Doc. How's it going?
Hey, thanks for the call, man.
Yeah, I've got just three quick little questions for you. The number one would be, what is the repetition in, like, when the folks are in their mass and prayers, and I listen to the radio and I listen to you guys, you know, what's the repetition in that?
Sure.
In the language?
I got you. Well, let me, I know you asked a question about the rosary here. I'll give you a little bit of history on the rosary. There's 150 psalms, and the clerics used to do the psalms, but the poor people and the people that were of the earth and the people who couldn't read, they had to have a more devotional, simpler way. And so the rosary became wildly popular among the lay people. It is a study of the life of Christ. It has the five mysteries as the sorrowful mysteries. It has the glorious mysteries. It has the joyful mysteries. And Pope John Paul added the luminous mysteries. Now, that's our meditation.
Psalms?
I'm sorry? Go ahead,
sir. Psalms? I was just asking, was that the Psalms?
No. No, the Psalms, of course, are very diverse in their prayerfulness, in their, in their adoration of our Lord, and in some way respects in their pleading with our Lord. So the rosary is something that for Catholics is a way to meditate. It's a way to, let me put you this way. I don't know about you, but I cannot sit down and pray straight for 18 minutes. I can't. I can't sit down and just talk to God straight for 18 minutes. The rosary, if you say it nice and reverently, takes about 18 to 20 minutes. It's a way to pray. It's a beautiful way to pray. Now, some people have a problem with the repetition. You know, there's a verse that our Lord says, avoid vain repetitions. And that's something, when I was in the non-Catholic world, they said, how can you Catholics do this? The Lord is clear, avoid vain repetitions. Well, again, they don't understand the context of that verse. At that time, there was a sense among the pagans that if you addressed certain gods in a certain way, using the right words and the right names, you could get the gods to do what you wanted. And the Lord said, you don't need to do that. Just ask the Father what you want. You don't got to go through all that. Your relationship with my Heavenly Father is very different. This is not a pagan God here. Now, here's the other thing I would ask, Leo. The Lord's Prayer, right? You love the Lord's Prayer, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay, what would be a vain repetition of the Lord's Prayer? Can you only say it once a day? But what if you said to our Lord, Lord, is it okay with you if I say 10 Lord's Prayers in a row? Would he say, no, Leo, that's repetition, don't do that? Would he say that?
No,
it'd be a wonderful thing.
Just ask once, and that's it. I mean, in Jesus' name, you know, and pray. That's what I'm working on, his face, you know.
But here's the other thing, though. Remember when our Lord talked about the widow who kept badgering the judge?
Sure.
And our Lord said, you know, this man respected neither God nor man, but yet because she kept coming at him and kept asking him, he granted her. And I think that's a lesson he was trying to tell us about pray. Just keep praying. You don't know when and how our Lord's going to respond in which direction, but just keep going. And a rosary is a wonderful way to just keep going. It reflects on the life of Christ.
I start to see that reasoning now,
Sure. Like you say, what is repetition? If I say one Our Father a day, and I say to myself, well, I don't want to say more than one, because that's repetition. Wait a minute. Would our Lord say that? Would he say, no, just one a day is good. Don't say any more than that, Ray. And if I say, Lord, can I say 10 a day? No, I don't want you to say 10 a day. That's vain repetition. I can't imagine God saying, I think he would say, Ray, pray as many Lord's prayers as you wish to pray.
You know, that's what I read somewhere. You know, you need to ask one in faith, one time, and then in faith, you know. And I pray that the Lord's Prayer. I like to do it every day, but you're right, Doc. It's just, it gets forgotten, you know, and then you're moving on doing things, you know, and then that, oh my gosh, you know, I forgot my prayer this morning, you know. I'm working on it.
All right, my friend. Hey, those are honest questions. You know that?
Yeah.
If you want to, if you go to Catholic.com and type in what is the rosary? And they will give you
what
a nice, what is the rosary? And they'll give you a nice explanation, the why of the rosary, maybe the history of the rosary, and why it is not vain repetition. The key there is not repetition. The key there is vain. When our Lord says, don't do vain repetitions. Remember, the angels at the time of our Lord's birth were saying, holy, holy, holy. Would that be vain repetition? Why don't they just say holy once? Quote. Why did they just say holy once? Why did they go on holy, holy, holy?
I believe it's because of adoration, love.
Yeah, that's right. It's like me. It's like me telling my wife, "Hey, honey, come on now. Now I told you I loved you. I think it was last month. Now come on, that's enough. Don't make me tell you every day."
Yeah.
All righty, my friend. God bless you. Honest call. Thank you much, Leo.
Thanks,
be well.
Appreciate
okay,
your time,
sir. 877-573. Got time for a couple more after the other side, so give me a call. 877-573-7825.
Ave Maria Mutual Funds does not invest in companies engaged in abortion, pornography, embryonic stem cell research, and those making corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Ave Maria Mutual Funds has a zero-tolerance policy that helps ensure investments align with moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds may be contacted at 1-866-AVE-MARIA or online at AveMariaFunds.com, a proud sponsor of Ave Maria Radio.
When we speak of blessing in prayer, what exactly do we mean? The Catholic Catechism defines blessing as a basic movement of Christian prayer, an encounter between God and man. God's gift and man's acceptance of that gift are united in dialogue with each other. God blesses, and the human heart can respond to bless the one who is the source of every blessing. The Catechism states that two fundamental forms express this movement. Human prayer ascends in the Holy Spirit through Christ to the Father, and it implores the grace of the Holy Spirit, which descends through Christ from the Father. Adoration, says the Catechism, is man's first attitude, acknowledging that he is a creature before his Creator. It exalts the God who made us and the almighty power of the Savior who sets us free from evil. It is the homage of the Spirit to the King of Glory. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Underwritten in part by this not-for-profit.
Are you looking for peace? Longing for joy? Want to meet the giver of all goodness? God is calling the laity to bring Ignatian prayer into the suffering world. Work for the new evangelization. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com. Order your free digital training and manual. Find true happiness and everlasting joy. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com
and click on the red button today.
It's free. Approved by the USCCB.
Yeah, well, one thing about kind bars, they're not kind to your mouth. They're very hard to chew. Hope the Lord isn't trying to give me a signal that I'm getting pretty cheap, pretty flexible, pretty weaselly in my definition of junk food. I mean, there are peanuts in it. Peanuts are good for you. This happens to be surrounded by a whole bunch of chocolate. Well, this is the first... it's not the first time, but it is a rare time. Every call today, about 70% of our calls, maybe 75, are females, women. Today, every single call that we took was a guy. Now, this is, I think I can represent sensitivity, all right, and still talk to all these toxic males. I can represent sensitivity as I do so. Jim is calling from Ohio. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how are you doing?
Okay there, sir.
All right. I have an odd question for you. I've heard several times lately on EWTN about our pets, dogs and cats, et cetera, when they die that they do not go to heaven. But wouldn't the Bible verse about when Christ returns on a white horse wouldn't that indicate that there's a possibility that animals are in heaven?
The white horse in Revelation is symbolic. Okay, it doesn't mean, therefore, because I referred to a white horse, that I'm saying that obviously animals can be in heaven. But I think there's another way to answer your question. The whole area, whether there are pets in heaven, is debated. It truly is. And I think the best answer to that is we don't know. Who's told us? If you say that humans have a rational soul and animals have a animating soul, they don't have a rational soul. So only people with rational souls, only beings with rational souls go to heaven. Okay, that's possible, but we, in the end, nobody's told us. We don't know if pets will be there. We don't know if tarantulas will be there. What about king cobras, you know? So I guess, Jim, the safest thing to say is we don't know. Some people can say, I speculate, my opinion is that there's no animals in heaven. I talked to a priest just recently. He says, well, God gave us something like this to love so very much, so it would make sense that at some level they would continue to be with us. That's his reasoning. Me, I just kind of shrug my shoulders and say, well, we'll see. Or, wait, I hope I'll see. That's what I want to say. Just my thoughts, Jim.
Thank you very much.
All righty, sir. Appreciate that. Rick from Denver. Hi, Rick. Hey, yo, Rick.
Yes.
Yes, sir. You are finishing up our hour of all males. All males.
Oh, cool. Now, my question was, my mother was real abusive to us as children, and I have, we thought she was just mean and crazy, but over the years, of course, she's passed away now, but I really think she was mentally something wrong with her, and just it wasn't diagnosed back then in the 60s. But my sisters can't get past it. I was trying to figure out a way to try to approach them so they could get past.
Have you asked
the
them?
Feelings they have.
Rick, have you asked them? Do you think Mom was in her totally right mind?
I have asked them, and I think she was just mean.
Do they think that?
And when, yes, they think she was just mean, and she was to us as children. But I think there, you know, the older I've gotten, I think there was a reason for that. I think it was just a mental disorder or something.
Well, here's another explanation, and maybe this will help. If you could find out, maybe from your mom's sister or somebody still alive, what kind of childhood she had, or how ugly was her marriage, that can soften you up a little bit.
Yeah, her childhood was pretty ugly.
See, so approach your sisters with that. Say, look, yeah, okay, so we view Mom as very mean and harsh with us and not loving, but look at poor Mom's upbringing. In some ways, how could she be any way else, given what she went through?
Gotcha.
You know,
gotcha. I'll try that.
Yeah, and I've heard that from a lot of adults. I had a lady call me on the show probably 3 months ago, Rick, who said, I had so much bitterness toward my mother, and then I found out what my mother's marriage was like, what she put up with, and I didn't know it. I found out what her childhood was like, and I didn't know it. So I became softer toward my mother. I didn't say what she did was good, but at least I had some understanding that she wasn't just so automatically nasty because she wanted to be nasty. She didn't have much herself.
Exactly.
All righty, my friend. Thanks, Rick.
All right.
Thank you, buddy. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, see, I got about a minute or so left, and I'm not going to take another call because I'm not going to break the record of all guys on the program. Now, you ladies, you want to call in tomorrow, you can call in. But, now, actually, I didn't ignore the ladies. The guys came up in a certain order, and it just happened that way. But tomorrow, it'll be back. You know, I just thought of something. Is it possible that finally it got to the point that even on this radio show, women are not calling me. That happened in college. By my senior year, I never got any calls from girls at all. Zero. When I was a freshman and sophomore, I got a few because, well, they didn't pass around to their friends, don't call this guy, he's kind of a turkey. So my senior year got zippo. Maybe this is what's happening. I'll find out tomorrow, hopefully with our first call. Thank you, Andrew Krucek, for your help there at Ann Arbor. Eric Dumont, call screaming. Me, good Lord permitting, I get a chance to talk to you tomorrow. The TV show, Living Right with Dr. Ray, is in its 12th season, airing on EWTN Global Catholic Television Network. And that is 10 o'clock on Saturday nights, Eastern Time, and 9:30 Eastern Time in the morning on Tuesdays. Hopefully you'll join us there. I know EWTN streams, and you can pick them up all over the place. Even if you don't get them on your local cable channels, you can get them about anywhere. Thanks for joining me. Make sure you walk with God. Make sure.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRRay.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.